Heard about Anchor? It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
Hope everyone enjoyed Super Bowl Sunday, but welcome back to YWC Football Talk, episode 63. And today I'm pleased to be joined by Gabby Helbert. Well, Gabby, welcome to the show. How'd you enjoy the game?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on. It definitely was an interesting game. Thought it would be a lot closer of a game than it was. Didn't expect a blowout like that, but I enjoyed watching it nonetheless.
Yeah, I know. Like, I feel like everyone who was in Boston enjoyed it, or in the New England area, enjoyed it more than those of people who were actually in Tampa Bay last night watching it.
Yeah, you know, a lot of us had mixed feelings on the Brady situation when he went to Tampa in the first place, and it was a situation where it was like, well, how do we feel about this? Do we cheer for him or do we not? I mean, like, at the beginning of the season, there was definitely kind of mixed feelings going on with Patriots fans in terms of if you were going to cheer for Brady with the Bucs or if you were not going to. And obviously the Patriots were still our team, so we were rooting for the Patriots, but some people wanted to see Brady succeed in Tampa, others didn't. But then when it got to playoff time, everybody was pretty much on board with rooting for Brady because at the end of the day, he did get us 6 Super Bowl rings, so we wanted to root for the guy that got us 6 Super Bowl rings. So the fact that they went and won 3 road games and then got to play the Super Bowl at home, it just almost, that's just such a crazy story. And the fact that Brady was on a team that got to play the first Super Bowl at their home stadium is just kind of crazy. And I think that Patriots fans now are really, really happy that Brady proved what we've been saying all along, which is that he's not only because of Belichick and the Patriots system that he's a good quarterback, because there were a lot of people in the past that were saying Brady can't succeed without Bill and without the Patriots system, and he came to Tampa to prove exactly that he could do that and that he didn't need the Patriots to succeed. And the fact that he did and that he won his 7th Super Bowl at 43 years old with a different team who was 7-9 last year and didn't make the playoffs and took them all the way this year to their first Super Bowl in so many years. It's just crazy that it worked out like that. But I was rooting for the Bucs. I wanted to see him win and succeed. I don't think he's done. I think he's still coming back. I think that he wants to play really until he's 45, because when he said that originally, I don't think people thought he was legit when he put that out there a couple seasons ago, but we're realizing more and more now that I think he definitely could be around a couple more years because he's still moving and he's been pretty healthy for the majority of his career too. So that's starting to show now, the longevity of that, because so many quarterbacks get plagued with injuries throughout their career, but he really hasn't. So he's showing now that he definitely, I think, has the durability to be able to stay a couple more years. And I thought the defense really had a great performance last night. I thought that they did a really good job of confusing Mahomes in the offense. And the Chiefs weren't really prepared for what that defense was bringing. And Andy Reid also didn't seem to make any adjustments at halftime, which I think was a big factor in that too. And I think that it was an overall, all around really good performance by Tampa Bay. And they were an interesting team to watch this year just because they struggled at the beginning of the season. There was a chemistry issue, I think, and Bruce Arians wasn't really doing that good of a job of catering to Brady's playing style. And that's huge with a quarterback like Brady. And as the season went on, Arians almost seemed to adapt more to Brady's playing style, and then the defense started playing better too, because defensively they weren't really playing well earlier on in the season either. So I think that there were a lot of adjustments made throughout the season, and everybody being healthy come playoff time and all the weapons he has over there, it just is a good situation for him, and he seems to want to be there. And towards the end, he really didn't want to be in New England anymore. So hopefully Bill Belichick watched that game and realized that he has some serious work to do with his team if he wants to be a playoff contender again. But I am happy for Brady. I think that there were a lot of doubters that he kind of shut up last night after winning the game, and a lot of people that were saying he was washed up or that he should have retired a while ago. I think that those people now are realizing that he really does still have it, and when he needs to get the job done, he does, and especially in big games like this.
Exactly, because what's the one thing, too, where I want to go back to your point earlier when you were saying a lot of people were struggling with the idea of him leaving. Like, I was one of those people. Like, I remember it was, because it was also right at the height when this pandemic first started, and I remember I woke up and my girlfriend literally telling me, check your phone, and, like, the first thing I see on Instagram is just that long, like, note message he wrote, and then I'm just like, oh, okay, let's see where this goes. And then I'll admit it. At first, yeah, I was upset about him leaving. I didn't like it because he's the reason why I'm the football fan I am today. Like, I don't even know if I have this podcast right here if it's not for me watching Tom Brady. That's seven or eight. I'm trying to remember if it was I was seven. It was when he first kind of entered the league and started making noise. And then just for everything, like, even to I'll admit, like, week one when we beat Miami, and then he looked bad against the Saints. I was like, oh, look, he's 0-1, we're 1-0. And then all of a sudden, it just started, like, they started clicking, getting well, and the Patriots kind of started taking a nosedive south. But then, too, there was games like the 38-3 game against the Saints where everyone was like, okay, what's going on? And then the Rams lost and the Chiefs lost.
Yeah.
But then they had their bye week, the most opportune time, where it's just like, hey, they rested, they played easy schedule down the stretch, which benefited them, and then the fact, too, that he went...
He had a good win against the Packers earlier on in the season, too, though, that nobody was expecting either.
Exactly. And he also, too, won a lot of the games that he was supposed to win. Like, games against, like, the Broncos, the Raiders. I remember he went to Vegas and lit them up. But the fact, too, with this stretch, that he beat Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes in three consecutive games. Like, I know people want to address Pat as, like, you know, the kid, which means, like, baby goat. But I'm closing that door for now. And, look, he's got six rings to win. Tom's got seven. And there's a very good chance that we're here this time next year with him at eight. But also, too, there's the whole... Part of me thinks that he wants to come back next season, definitely, which he already announced he is because next year he comes to Foxborough. Something I don't think a lot of people know about.
That the Bucs play the Patriots in Foxborough next year. And I'm really hoping there can be fans at games because that would be a game I would go to. Obviously, it would be super expensive, but he's not going to not play that game. There's no way we don't see Brady back at Foxborough for that game. That's going to be really, really interesting to see Brady and Gronk if he comes back, which I really think he will too, because he's basically said he doesn't really have a reason not to. Them both being back at Gillette, playing against their former team, there's not really much that's more legendary than that. So I'm excited to see that. And I agree with you. I really do think that Brady and Gronk are both going to be back. I think they could go back to the Super Bowl next year. Like you said, there's a lot of talent over there, both defensively and offensively. And if everybody stays healthy, I think they can do it. I think Chris Godwin is a free agent. But
yes, he is.
I'm sure they'll re-sign him or try to.
Sorry to cut you off. I have a quick take about Chris Godwin where I feel like someone's going to offer him free agent money, like a lot. Like, someone's going to really pay for him to be like a wide receiver one when we all know the wide receiver one on that team is Mike Evans. So that's my only thing with Godwin. But I feel like Tampa's going to try whatever they can do to re-sign him because they also have Fournette and Lavonte David they got to lock up.
Yeah, exactly. And I definitely could see that, too. I think there's going to be teams that could offer him a lot of money. I think, you know, Patriots, I put in parentheses, would be a team that could really benefit from somebody like him at the wide receiver position, a team that does not really have that much of a receiving core right now. And the Patriots have a lot to work with this offseason, too, in terms of cap space, too. So that's going to be really important for them to be able to utilize that cap space this year. But back to Brady and the Bucs, I really think that we could be sitting here and having a similar conversation next year that they make another Super Bowl run. They're the most complete team to me in the NFC right now, based on what I saw, and maybe even the most complete team in the NFL. I think when they really start to put their defense together as the season went on, you could really see that they were a threat to a lot of other teams. And, I mean, I had them beating the Saints because it's really hard to beat a team three times in the same season. And so I really thought that they could beat the Saints. But nobody really expected them to go to Lambeau and beat the Packers on the road. I think people thought that this was really going to be, with the season that Aaron Rodgers was having, that this was going to be his year to finally go back and get his second ring and be like, you know what, I did it. Like I got my second ring. Like I proved people wrong. I proved that I can finish the job in the playoffs. I really thought that they were going to come into that game at home and take care of business. But not that Brady had the best game offensively that game either, but his defense had a tremendous performance two games in a row against the Packers and the Chiefs. And what I was saying before the game when I was doing some analysis was that if the Bucs defense can put pressure on Mahomes and be able to contain him, then they have a really good chance of winning, and that's exactly what they did. I mean, very rarely do you see the Chiefs struggle like that offensively. And I mean, I don't even remember, even if there was a time where I didn't see the Chiefs score a touchdown in a game. And I was like, you're not going to beat this Bucs team with the way they're looking on field goals. It's just not going to happen. And I know there were a lot of, you know, penalties called against the Chiefs in the first half, which I think a couple of them were questionable. But at the same time, they didn't help themselves because their defense was making a lot of mistakes, especially in the first half, that they shouldn't have been making. So they weren't really putting themselves in the best position to succeed either. And the Bucs came into that game with a purpose. And when Brady threw that first touchdown pass to Gronk, I was like, okay, this is how this game is going to go. I feel like it's going to be one of those games. Like, they're going to win this game. I predicted a much higher score, though. I really thought it was going to be a game that was really high scoring and was a shootout for a lot of the game, and that might end in a game-winning field goal or something like that, that it would be like a 38-35 type of game, because nobody expected, I don't think, I mean, obviously I can't speak for everybody, but everybody I talked to at least did not expect that type of offensive performance out of KC. They thought it was going to be a high-scoring game where both teams were putting up points and that it would come down to the end. But that whole game, the Chiefs offense just looked confused, and Mahomes didn't really know where to go with the ball because they had great coverage. So the Bucs came into that game really prepared, and Brady, he knew that people were doubting him. I mean, he knew that. He knew that coming in as the visiting team for every game in the postseason besides the Super Bowl and being considered the underdog, he knew that people were going to be doubting him, and that only fueled more of a fire, I feel like, in him to want to succeed and play well, because he was like, you know, people are going to doubt me. They really are ready to pass my torch over to Pat, but I'm not yet. So he basically came into that game and showed, like, look, I'm still here. I'm not done. I may be 43 years old, but I'm still out here winning championships and taking teams with losing records to the Super Bowl. So I'm not, you know, like, They need me, and I still want to do more. So he proved that he is definitely still going, and he was just that extra touch that the Bucs needed. And granted, they added a couple other key players with AB and Gronk and everything else, and their offensive line was just a mess last year. So they were just really not that good of a team, and even though some of those weapons were already there last year, some of those players were already there, but they did need a quarterback because Jameis Winston wasn't the answer, and they came and they got Tom Brady, and here they are winning a championship. So I think for Patriots fans, we were all excited for him because we wanted to see him win another championship, but it definitely hurt seeing him holding up that trophy with another team when it could have been us. And it was like, if the Patriots had just been willing to pay the guy and gotten him some weapons on offense, that could have been them this year winning another championship. And even when he didn't have offense in New England, he still made it work, and he still took them deep into the playoffs, even when they didn't have weapons, because Bill, the GM, was never really great at drafting help for Brady. really, or even signing free agents that could help him out. And that was something that he got really frustrated with. But it was Brady, and he was so comfortable in the Patriots organization that he just made it work, even when he didn't have the weapons. And you're not going to find a quarterback really like that, that can do that. So the Patriots have a lot of work to do, because even if they get a really good quarterback, whether they sign somebody or they draft somebody, they're still going to need to get weapons for whoever that quarterback is. And we saw it this year with Cam Newton, that with Cam, I mean, I don't think Cam in general was the answer for sure. I think that it just wasn't working for him in New England, but at the same time, it wasn't all on him, because he really didn't have the weapons either to be able to succeed there. So I think Cam as a quarterback can do good things if he's with another team and he's in a system that works better for him and he has some help offensively. But I just don't think that New England is the right answer for him. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how Belichick responds to this. I know people are already saying that this upcoming season is going to be Bill Belichick's revenge tour. So hopefully that this whole Brady winning a championship with another team thing sparks something in Bill to really utilize this offseason. This is one of their most important off seasons they've had in a very, very long time. And this is really the first full offseason that we're sitting here saying the Patriots don't really have a quarterback, because that for 20 years they didn't have that problem, you know? So I think it's going to be really important to see what they do in the offseason this year to kind of go back and respond to all of this, because I don't think Brady's done. I think he has a couple more years left, and there's teams in the AFC even too that now we have to worry about. I mean, there's always the Chiefs are going to be there for a while. The Bills are only going to get better. I think Cleveland is a team to watch out for in the next few years to see what they do. So the Patriots have a lot of work to do if they want to be contenders in the AFC. And then Brady being in the NFC and doing his thing, I think that's going to be something that's going to be something special for the next couple of years for him. And it's just an interesting offseason. I mean, there's so much that we can say now, but it's also hard with so many quarterbacks' futures being uncertain this year too. So I think a lot of things could change this offseason based on where quarterbacks land and everything like that.
Exactly. That's the biggest thing too, because Bill does have $50 million to work with this offseason. Another big storyline that kind of went unnoticed without the Patriot community was the opt-outs. The opt-outs obviously hurt the team with guys like Chung. My personal favorite once Tom left, Hightower. You really saw that like absence in the locker room with guys like that being out. The quarterback,
and with the defense especially, they had so many. They were missing so many players defensively that you could see the defense being inconsistent this year and suffering because of that. And people seem to forget that they had the most COVID opt outs in the league, and that definitely did make a difference this year.
100%. Even to like offensively, they had a lot like. Not offensively, it was just you could tell with Cam, like, there wasn't enough time to get prepared. With this being such a weird offseason that it was, I expect some normalcy to be this offseason, but also to some restrictions, obviously, like with OTAs and, like, just the offseason training camp, and also to minicamp for rookies, because that's the one thing, too. A lot of rookies didn't really get to work with a team until training camp, so we'll see where that goes. But even this year with New England, too, I don't think they have to go out and sign, like, the big, big name receivers and pay a lot of money for them, because they also have a lot of in-house work to do with, like, because my top three to get re-signed is Adam Butler, David Andrews, especially David Andrews, and J.C. Jackson. So spend the money outside of the team, but also to keep the same nucleus that's already existing in the locker room.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's why I think their draft picks are going to be important, too. And this all goes back to what direction they want to go in with the quarterback position. And that seems to be a mystery right now, because does Bill want to go and sign a veteran quarterback and try to win another Super Bowl before he retires? Or does he want to be there to help sort of rebuild so that whoever takes over for him, they're already in that process? And I think nobody ever can know what Bill's thinking. It's hard to say with him just because he never says anything indicating whatever he's thinking. We know that. That's just how the guy is. And
yeah, 100%.
Understanding him would just be like, pulling teeth trying to understand and interpret Bill Belichick as a coach. But, I mean, he did express interest in Matthew Stafford. They were looking into Matthew Stafford, but what the Rams gave up for Stafford, I wouldn't have wanted the Patriots to give up that much. I think it's too much. And yeah, it puts the Rams in a really good position to maybe make a Super Bowl run next year having him. But that's a lot to give up for somebody who's injury prone that could get injured, and then all of that's kind of out the window, and then they're starting over essentially after that because they gave up their first round picks for him and Jared Goff. So I'm happy that the Patriots didn't end up doing something like that for Stafford, but the fact that they were expressing interest in Stafford, to me, says either Bill doesn't see any quarterbacks in the draft that he thinks would be good in this system, or he doesn't want to be there for a rebuild, and he doesn't want to deal with training a new quarterback into the system that doesn't have NFL experience yet, and he's looking for a quarterback that short-term could help the Patriots win another Super Bowl before he's out the door. And then whoever takes over for him can focus on a rebuild at that point, whether that's Josh McDaniels or whoever that fills those shoes after he retires, is then left up in this situation of like, okay, yeah, like we need a quarterback and we need to rebuild. So it's really interesting. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do at the quarterback position this year, because I think if they don't draft a quarterback, then they should focus on drafting maybe a receiver or a tight end, especially even with that 15 pick. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what they decide. I think there are some quarterbacks out on the market this year that have unknown futures about where they're going to go that they could look into. I know the assumption right now is that Jimmy Garoppolo might end up back in New England. And a lot of people are talking about that. So I think that there's going to be a lot of interest and a lot of quarterback names being tossed around out there. But the fact that they had expressed interest in Stafford makes me feel like Bill is really just kind of focusing on more short term right now. And I wouldn't blame if that was the case, because I think his focus probably would be to win another Super Bowl before he does retire and not just focus on a rebuild, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I get 100% what you mean, because I personally would like Jimmy back in New England because he knows the system, and I know everyone says the same thing too. Oh, he's injury prone. He wasn't good. I just think the Shanahan scheme isn't the best, but like with Bill, like Bill likes him. Like something also too that I like to bring up is that Bill talked to him pregame before they played the Niners earlier this year, which Bill necessarily doesn't do with a lot of NFL talent. So if that was just one thing to watch out for. But my thing with 15 is don't draft someone just for the sake of drafting them. Like if, say, for example, if there's a good defensive edge or a linebacker of need in that 15 range that you want, go draft him. Like, because I've been looking at a lot of the mock drafts and a lot of the prospect reports. We can still get a receiver that could help us, like, day two or day three even. But the big thing to watch out for, too, is also, like, with free agency and everything. Like, I personally don't think Bill is going to sign up for a rebuild. I think you're right. He wants to win now, especially, too, with even Miami is another team to watch out for that's coming up.
That was another one, yeah. I was going to mention. I mean, between them and the Bills being in the division, it's going to be a tough road. And I think that with Miami, and a lot of people are really quick to just kind of bash Tua and say he's not the answer, he's not going to pan out in the NFL.
Yeah.
But the guy hasn't even started a full season. I mean, he was coming off of an injury, and we haven't really gotten to see a full season from him yet. So I think it would be a little premature for Miami to give up on Tua right now. And if he plays next season and it's similar to this and if there doesn't seem to be improvement, then I say, yeah, maybe like try to look into another quarterback. But I think now that he's been in the league and kind of has some playing experience under his belt, and now that he's fully recovered from that injury, things could turn around for him. But you're right. Between Miami and Buffalo, there's a lot that the Patriots could run into challenge-wise going forward in the next few years.
Exactly, but also, too, I don't mind the parity in the AFC East especially, and another team I want to pay attention to is the Los Angeles Chargers even. That was the one thing, because I was thinking about this, too. I think with all the uncertainty in the NFC, and especially, too, with the likes of, like, Breeze possibly retiring, some other stuff, I think it's going to be a lot easier, like, the road for Tom to get back to the Super Bowl will be easier than Mahomes. Like, if it's Tampa KC next year, will I be shocked? Absolutely not. But I'm just saying that I feel like there's so many more up-and-coming teams in the AFC than there are in the NFC right now.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. too. I don't know that KC could go back again next year. There's going to be, I mean, Buffalo, I know that that game, that the AFC Championship game was not as good as we had been hoping, but I think Buffalo is a really serious team that is going to continue to improve. And with the way Josh Allen played this year, I mean, that's going to be a good team going forward. So they're going to be a team that can run into some problems. Cleveland even kept it close against the Chiefs in the season. So I think that they're another team that are worth looking out for. And I do agree with you. I think based on the current situation in the NFC and all the question marks there, I think the Bucs would have an easier road back. I am curious as to Washington's situation. I think they're just a quarterback away from being serious contenders. I mean, they already have the defense. They have some offensive talent there. I just think they need a reliable long-term quarterback.
Yep.
If they have a reliable long-term quarterback, then I think that they can be serious contenders. I think they're in the best shape in their division in the NFC East. Going forward, I think the other teams in that division have some more things they need to figure out. And you're right with the Saints, even with Breeze. I saw something yesterday that came out that said Winston is the front runner for their quarterback right now.
Yeah.
Which I kind of figured would be the case. I know some Saints fans that aren't exactly happy about that. But it is going to be sad to see Breeze go with the career he had and everything. And even Aaron Rodgers, I really think this is all talk, but with him saying his future is uncertain, I don't think he's going to leave Green Bay. I think we'll see him back in Green Bay next year. It'd be hard to leave a team with those weapons around you. I do think that comment, though, with him was coming out of a lot of frustration, you know, with them drafting Jordan Love in the first round of the playoffs and kind of wasting a first round draft pick that they could have used to get him one more weapon to maybe get them over the hump to go to the Super Bowl this year. I think that annoyed him because he was like, well, you don't need a starting quarterback right now. I'm your quarterback. Like, you don't need to draft, you know, the next person coming up to replace me. Why not use this pick to get me another weapon to set me up for success? So I feel like he was frustrated all season about that, because if they had used that pick on one more offensive weapon for him, who knows, maybe they would have gone to the Super Bowl. They could have used it that way. So I think that he was frustrated with that, but I really don't see him at the end of the day like actually leaving Green Bay.
No, neither do I. I think a lot of what he said was, and I've been here before, and I'm pretty sure like everyone has, where you say something in the heat of the moment when you're mad and you're upset, and that later on you think about it and you're like, should I really have said that? Like, probably not. So I think he's just going to take a few moments to coin his favorite term, relax. I think he's going to do that, take a few moments, just talk to management and say, guys, just get me some help. Like, because if they had drafted like Brandon Ayuk or Michael Pittman or even Chase Claypool, there's a very good chance they're in the Super Bowl, but we can never know that because obviously a time machine doesn't exist, or DeLorean if you're a Back to the Future fan. But just the simple fact, too, that all we know is that, hey, if they can get a competent wide receiver, too, like a Will Fuller, like an Emmanuel Sanders, someone of that nature, like, you don't have to go out and get Allen Robinson. I'm only saying his name because he's the biggest free agent this year for wide receivers. Yeah. If they can just get him some help to, you know what, take the pressure away from Adams, it'll be huge. Because another thing of note to go into next season for Green Bay is Devontae's a free agent after the 2021 season, and he's going to get paid in 22, and
any team would want to pay him.
Exactly. Like, he won a lot of people fantasy football because that week 16 game against Tennessee, I was like, I expect Derrick Henry to run wild all over them, but no, the opposite happened. They held Henry to under 100 yards. So if their defense can play better, and their, because that's one thing I was gonna say too, that Scotty Miller touchdown in the NFC Championship game, that was a dagger for me. Like, I thought Green Bay had a chance, but after that I was just like, I can't see them coming back. Because that's the other thing I always wanted to point out, too. And I want to point this out to you, because I've said this before a lot on here, that the Scotty Miller-Tom Brady connection I knew would work, because that is Tom's typical wide receiver target that he just loves to use. Like, look at Chris Hogan, Amendola, Edelman, Wes Welker. He loves, like, that short, white, slot white receiver. So,
yeah, he does. Yeah. He's always been big on targeting that person, whoever that person is.
Yeah, exactly. And
it was either that person or Gronk the majority of the time.
Yeah, like, even that was the one thing. I just want to go back to last night's game, too. I was watching the highlights again this morning. Kansas City, on a lot of those plays, I think they got mentally worn out. Like, you saw, like, on the Leonard Fournette touchdown run, they just looked like once they realized he was in, they would stop him. They didn't even attempt to tackle him. The same thing, too, on the two Gronk touchdowns. Gronk was left wide open, something I don't think we had seen in years, because a lot of his touchdowns this year, from what I remember, he was covered, like, or at least was one-on-one coverage that he won. Like, we haven't seen this Gronk since his prime New England days back when he wore our jersey.
I was like, why? There's literally nobody over there. Like, he's wide open right now.
Yeah.
No, I think that KC on both sides of the ball got worn out. Defensively especially, but on offense, you could just tell that as the game progressed, they were getting less and less comfortable out there. And it was weird to see them like that, because we never see KC's offense like that. And Mahomes usually always figures something out. And even when they're behind, even going into the half, people were like, well, wait, like, we know how this goes. Like, the Chiefs are down by double digits, and it's a playoff game. Because their entire Super Bowl run last year, they came from behind to win games. And even this year, they kept doing that. That's just where they seem to shine, is when they're behind. That seemed to be when they're comfortable. So I thought they would come out in the second half and kind of go off, actually, and make it a closer game. I really did think that. I was like, this just seems like it's set up to be one of those games where in the second half, KC's kind of figured some things out. Andy Reid will make some adjustments, and they'll come out, and they'll just have a stellar second half, and it'll be close. And then they didn't. And I was like, Mahomes just looks confused. And the Tampa Bay defense just seemed ready for everything that KC had, and they didn't have enough up their sleeve to be ready for that, it seems like. And even, like, you know, there was a lot of coverage that the Bucs provided on just him, but also his main weapons, too. So not having his main weapons to target was hard for Mahomes, because he was like, well, I can run the ball. And then that pretty much left him with only that. They really did a good job of protecting that passing game. And I think that was something that they knew was important. And to me, it was just the Bucs were better prepared, and they came in just with more up their sleeve. And Andy Reid just got out-coached overall, too. And the fact that he kept wanting to pass the ball when that wasn't working, I didn't really quite understand why he was doing that either.
No, neither was I. Like, I feel like Kansas City, a lot of the time, they were just kind of like relying on Patrick too much. Like, oh, hey, I feel like they do that as well. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, you know what? Patrick will get us out of this mess. Patrick will take care of it. But that's the one thing last night. Even, too, there were the two questionable calls. The one that stands out to me the most was the one where Mike Evans just fell, and they thought it was pass interference, but it wasn't.
Yeah, because that seemed like it was an uncatchable ball anyway.
So yeah.
I don't know that I would call pass interference on that.
Yeah, but even, too, stuff like seeing Tom Brady bark back at Matthew, I'm just like, okay, who is this man that I'm seeing right now? He's usually calm and collected. And even, too, towards the end of the Super Bowl, when they got, I don't know what exactly he said, but he was cursing in the huddle. I'm like, okay, what has Florida done to my quarterback?
Yeah, really. It's like, this is not the Tom Brady we know.
No.
Where was this guy in New England? They're definitely not here.
No, but you'd see, though, how, and that's one thing I wanted to point out as well, because as soon as he signed with Tampa, I was like, their offensive line is bad, but if there was two positions that really assured up for them in their postseason run, it was the offensive line and their secondary. Both those positions.
Their secondary was a problem during the regular season, and I was going to point that out, too, that they had issues with their secondary during the regular season, and going into the playoffs, I was like, if this team loses their secondary, I think it's going to end up being one of the biggest things that they run into problems with. But that secondary showed up this entire postseason run.
Yeah, but even just making simple plays, like, here and there, like, especially that Saints game, too, where they read Breeze's passes perfectly, even though there was the one Jared Cook fumble. There was just one other point I was trying to think of last night. I remember people thought even the Winfield deuces to Tyreek Hill is like, oh, what's he doing? And I'm like, I know exactly what he's doing. He's getting in there. But also, this Super Bowl reminded me of 53, where you know what, it was going on. Oh, Tom Brady and the Patriots at the time playing this unstoppable Rams team. But last night kind of laid the blueprint on how exactly you can beat Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, because there were so many people questioning, like, is there anybody that in the near future is even going to be able to stop that offense? Because it didn't seem like anybody could.
Yeah.
And even going into the Super Bowl, people didn't even think that Tampa could, because they were like, this offense is just unstoppable. Nobody's beating them. But now I think everybody across the league knows there's a way to be able to stop them, and they're seeing how Tampa Bay did it last night, and I think that's going to cause a lot of teams to change up a lot of things in the offseason about their typical game plan and how they approach KC going forward. And I really think that Tampa Bay opened a lot of doors for other teams to be competitive with KC now and be able to stop them. And I really don't think going forward we're going to see this KC dominance that we've been seeing the last couple of years. I really think that more teams are going to be competitive with them now that they know that there's a way to beat them, and people saw it last night.
That's exactly why I was saying I think it's going to be easier for Tampa to get back, but also too, like with Kansas City, I wouldn't be shocked now if they're in that position where Tom was in, you know, years ago in New England, where it's like, oh, he's down. This is the year he finally takes off. If people are saying, is this year Mahomes finally is human? But I always am going to expect him to go out there and make these, like, crazy sidearm throws. And just, he was doing it last night, too. There was the one play where he was getting sacked, and he flings that out there. I'm like, if stuff like that happens, it would have completely changed the momentum of the entire game. So for the Tampa defense to effectively pass rush him, yeah, that too. Like, Kelsey was dropping balls, like, it was very Super Bowl 46-esque.
We've never seen Travis Kelce drop balls like that. No. Either. So that was really uncharacteristic of that Chiefs offense, whereas people that you would not think would be dropping passes were dropping passes. And Mahomes was making some good plays still and being Mahomes.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I say the whole, like, I wouldn't be shocked if they're back in the conversation next year. Like, I'm not here saying, like, oh, they're going to have a bad season, go 6-10 and miss the playoffs. No, I still expect them to win 12 games or so. It's just, I'm not, like, even this year too, they had a lot of games where they had to be in a dogfight. Like, they beat Carolina by 1, they beat Atlanta by 3. I don't know how much sports gambling you know about, but they were 7-9 against the spread this year. The Jacksonville Jaguars had the same record against the spread, so there's just certain things like that to watch out for.
They had some close games that people thought they were going to blow teams out. Yeah, I mean, they lost to the Raiders, which ended up looking worse at the time than it did later on, because the Raiders actually started to play well later on in the season and started to look more competitive. So when they lost to them, it looked way worse, I think, than it did when people looked back on it later on.
Yeah.
But, you know, they did have some close games that people didn't think would be close. And the fact that Tampa Bay held them to single digits in the Super Bowl, which nobody expected, an explosive offense like that, people now know that there's ways that you can stop them. And I really think there's going to be other AFC teams that are right in the mix with KC. And this year they were the clear favorite, and it was just basically them and then everybody else. I don't think it's going to be them and everybody else going forward. I think it's going to be them on a level with some other AFC teams that are competitive, that continue to improve and get better. And I think that that's going to be fun, because there's going to be more teams we're putting in that mix, as opposed to just saying, yeah, it's KC, you know, because this year, for the most part, people were like, KC's going back to the Super Bowl, you know? Like, there's nobody in the AFC that can really get past them or stop them. And rightfully so. I mean, they clearly were the best team in the AFC still this year, and they were playing really good football. But I really think going forward, there's definitely going to be some other teams that are in the mix, and it's not just going to be KC and everybody else anymore. So I completely agree with your point that you made earlier, that KC is not going to have an easy road back to the Super Bowl next year. And even if they go to the Super Bowl, I think there's a chance that they could get eliminated in the playoffs next year by some of these other teams that were approaching and were starting to look pretty good, but just weren't quite there yet, like Buffalo and Miami, or even Cleveland.
Yeah.
Who won the playoff team and had a really good win against the Steelers, ran into the Chiefs, kept that game pretty close. Granted, Mahomes went down in that game, but even before he went down, that was still a competitive game before that. So I think Cleveland has the coach finally to be able to be good for that system, and there's a lot of weapons over there too. And I think that now that they have that playoff experience under their belt with a lot of those players, I think they're going to be a team that could really give KC problems. So now that we know that it's possible to stop that offense, that's going to change a lot of things in the next couple of years, and it's going to be really interesting. KC will be up there.
Yeah.
With that team that they have, they'll be a playoff team for a while, and they'll be one of those teams that's in the conversation for a while with Mahomes and everybody he has around him. But I don't know that we should be quick to say Mahomes is going to catch up to Brady in terms of amount of rings, because there's going to be a lot of teams that he could run into that could give them some problems.
Yeah, exactly. Like the dynasty talk with Kansas City and the GOAT talk, like those doors are shut for now. Because for me, for Dynasty, like people were saying like last night they win all their Dynasty. But for me, it's you got to win three. And like 3 and 4 years or 3 and 3, you got to do that. But everyone was just so quick to judge them. And for anyone who's like wondering, oh, if I shit talk to them. No, I'm just saying for years and years, people wanted to go into Gillette Stadium and beat the Patriots. Well, guess what? Now it's people are going to want to go into Arrowhead Stadium. Everyone's going to look at that game now, no matter what the team is, and say, we want to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. That's why, because they have that massive target on their back. And also, people got to remember, too, Brady went 10 years between rings, between 3 and 4. That's something I don't think a lot of people remember.
You forget that, too, that there was a long period of time where the Patriots weren't winning.
No, no, not at all. There was periods where they made the conference championship so much, but then even in that period, they lost to the Giants, they lost to the Eagles. And then there was years, too, they didn't even get to the Super Bowl where they were just always in the divisional round of the conference championship. So that's what I'm just saying, the whole Chiefs thing. I'm saying, like, let's not expect them to be in there every year. Because, like, last year everyone was going, oh, yeah, they're going to win, like, the next 5 in a row or whatever. But last night showed how hard it is to win in the NFL. And there's only one man right now who has been the consistent benchmark of winning in the NFL.
Exactly. You're exactly right. And, you know, going off of that, even going back-to-back is really difficult, and we've seen that. I mean, the Patriots went back-to-back in 03 and 04,
yep.
But other than that, we haven't really seen teams go back-to-back like that and win Super Bowls back-to-back. I mean, the Seahawks were in it back-to-back years, and we know how that went. The Bills going to 4 straight Super Bowls and losing every time.
Yep.
It's actually really difficult to win the Super Bowl 2 years in a row. There's a lot of things have to line up for you to win like that. And last year when Kansas City won the Super Bowl, it was looking like they were going to be a force to be reckoned with, which they were, and they still are.
Yep.
But it's really difficult to go in and win 2 years in a row, the whole thing. And so with KC, yeah, they'll probably win. They'll definitely win some more championships in Patrick Mahomes' time there. It's not like they won't be back in the Super Bowl, but it is difficult, and there's some great quarterbacks like Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers who weren't a product of winning games, and unfortunately, they have so much career success, but then when it came to the big games, they couldn't finish the job, which is why they only have one ring. You know, so it's you look back at quarterbacks like that who a lot of people are saying are in the conversation for one of the greatest to ever play the game, but they don't have the postseason results to show that, and it just that really helps to prove that you can be one of the greatest quarterbacks in the world, but it's really difficult to win in the NFL, especially in the playoffs when you're playing other good teams, and any team can show up on any night and win a game. Like even the Jets this year almost beat the Patriots. It took a game-winning field goal to beat them. The Jets beat the Rams, who were a playoff team,
and the Browns. You know what
I mean? So it's and the Browns. So it's you. You think about it, and it's any team can show up on any night and win a game. So it's really, really hard to stay that consistent for that many years in a row.
Exactly, and it's the three favorite words that I love about this game, and that is any given Sunday. Like, anything can happen. Like, I remember going to the Baltimore game thinking we were going to get smoked, and what happened? It was pouring rain, and the Patriots somehow won that game. So, or even like LA, like the first LA game where we went in 145-0. It's like, when you think you're not going to win sometimes, you're going to win. Like, that's how the NFL goes. And even look at the Cleveland-Pittsburgh game in the wild card. Like, if going into that game I had told someone, yeah, the Browns would be up 28-0 after the first quarter, I think people would look at me like I'm delusional. Yeah. Like, I'm crazy. Like, I'm just, like, spewing craziness. Like, but no, that's the expression. Like, I have a Browns fan who comes on here once in a while, and I remember before Pittsburgh, the wild card game, I asked him, I'm like, oh, hey, how are you feeling? He's like, oh, I don't know, not so good because of them dealing with COVID and everything. And I just said, any given Sunday, and look what happened. So that's the one thing. It's a love-hate relationship about the game, to be honest, the whole any given Sunday motto.
Yeah, no, it's true. And you love it because it keeps the excitement factor, but at the same time, it's frustrating because if you're like, it's a game that your team is supposed to win and they lose, you're going to be frustrated after. And it's so true. And you can't preach that enough. And that's why with KC and the dynasty thing, it's really hard for a team to be identified as a dynasty. And I think that KC is on its way there, but there's other teams that are getting better. And I think the NFL is just going to be, for a while now, especially with all the question marks this offseason, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. And I think there's a lot of teams that could do really, really good things going forward. And I think that it keeps the excitement factor. Even with Washington, the wild card round of this playoffs, when they played Tampa Bay and they had a backup quarterback playing, that was a game that people thought they had no chance in, and they ended up losing by a touchdown. Like, they almost won that game with a backup quarterback. As soon as Alex Smith was ruled out, people ruled Washington out, because that was a game they should not have had any chance of winning after Alex Smith went down. And then Heinicke comes in and has a great performance, and they end up losing by one possession to the team that just won the Super Bowl. So it's crazy that anything can really happen on any night, and you can come in on any Sunday, and any team that you're playing, you have to take it seriously and treat it as such. Because even if you're playing a team like the Jets, who at the time were, like, you know, 0-12 or whatever when they went in and played the Rams, you can't treat a team like that. You have to treat every team like it's a competitive game, because any team really can come in and win.
Exactly. Also, another thing with the Jets season was there was a game even earlier in the year where the Bills only scored field goals against them and they still won.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's stuff like that just to add on with this. Now I realize we're in the slow depression of 7 months till more football. But yeah, this is where it gets interesting, though, for, like, the true football fans or people who cover the game like you and I, where, you know, free agency is going to be right here before we know it. Like, that's what's so great about the NFL, is when you think the season's over, it's not. Like, now we have, sure, we'll have some, like, slow news, but then it's just going to be all excitement then leading up to the draft. Like, another thing I look forward to is schedule release and just stuff like that. So we got a great 7 months ahead of us. I believe it's like 214 days or something like that, September 9th. Who's counting? Not me.
Right. It's gonna be one of the most fun off seasons I think we've seen in a while.
Exactly, because last year was so, where's Tom gonna go? But now there's, oh, where's this person gonna go? Like, now we have the reports of Wentz potentially getting dealt. What's gonna happen?
Wentz? Yeah, I know.
Jimmy Garoppolo, Sam Darnold, Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson, most notably. Like, what's gonna happen there? So it's going to be a fun offseason that I'm looking forward to, and I'm going to be here every step of the way covering it for everyone else.
Yeah, no, it's going to be awesome. I am excited to see where Deshaun Watson goes. I mean, the Texans seem pretty adamant on not trading him, but he's like, you know, I want to go. And he was saying he wants to go to the Jets originally, but realistically, if you get Deshaun Watson, you need to be ready to give up a lot. And can the Jets really? What can they really offer that will suffice? I think there's a lot of teams in that situation, because we look at how much it costs for Matthew Stafford. Imagine how much it's going to cost for Deshaun Watson. And so I think that with the Texans, that's going to be a problem for them. If they keep saying we don't plan on trading him, he could just not play, and then they're kind of just stuck without a quarterback. So they're almost backed into a corner at this point, where they basically have no choice but to at least try to trade him, because he wants to go. And so if he wants to go and you're backed in and you don't, and you refuse to let him go, then he's just not going to play. And then what are you going to do? Not have a quarterback?
Exactly. Like, they could force his hand and make him stay, like what has happened a lot in sports, but the Jets seem like the obvious target just because of what they have, but personally, I don't want it for obvious reasons, but I think if he doesn't go there before free agency starts, it's going to be a big question of, because they do have money to spend in free agency, but like, are free agents going to go there being like, oh, hey, Deshaun's going to come here, but then he doesn't, and you're kind of like stuck in this weird situation. So part of me thinks that also the Jets want to rebuild through the draft. They don't want to just get someone and win now, so we'll see what happens with Deshaun,
They need way more than just a quarterback.
Exactly.
Like, a quarterback is not their only problem. So even if they do get Deshaun Watson, they're not just going to go and win the Super Bowl next year. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Even with Sam Darnold, I really think that he's a better quarterback than fans make him out to be. I think he just wasn't in the right system, and he really did not have help on offense to help him out over there. And I really think if he was on a better team, in a system that worked out better for him, and he had some weapons, I do think he could be a decent quarterback somewhere. I just think the Jets were not the answer. And even if they do get Deshaun Watson, there's more work they need to do. So I'm with you. I think that they want their draft picks because they want to go for a rebuild that'll help them better long term. And I think that the whole head coaching situation now, they're in a much better situation now with their coach. I think that that's going to be a better situation for them. And I don't think that they want to because it would take getting rid of that number two pick, obviously.
Yeah.
Get Deshaun Watson, and I don't think they want to do that because I think they want those picks and they know that they need to do a rebuild, that it's more than just a quarterback. And if they do get Deshaun Watson, they'll have to give up a lot of those picks, and it kind of cancels out a lot of opportunity for a rebuild, and then they're still kind of stuck where they were.
Exactly. It's kind of like the whole, hey, you can trade this all to win now, but it can come back to bite you later on, which I don't think Joe Douglas really wants to do. So we'll see what happens with the whole Houston situation, many other quarterback situations. Hopefully Jimmy ends up in Foxborough. That's just my personal preference. I want that too.
My top choice for them too.
Yeah, just because, like, you know what? He can be good, but everyone says he sucks. Look, if he stays healthy, like, he led San Francisco to the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. He knows the Patriots organization and the system already, and Bill likes him as a quarterback and knows his playing style. So if he comes to New England and they can get him some help, they actually really could be contenders.
Exactly. You know what? Add some help. You know what? Develop the tight ends. Because, like, even though, like, Keenan and Asiasi didn't have the kind of year most people hoped, Asiasi did show some promise in that last game, which I'm watching that last game being like, where was this 2 months ago? Like, it was kind of like, it was fun to see, but it was also, like, very annoying where I'm like, where the hell was this when we needed it? Because I feel like Bill just didn't care, like, at that point.
It's coming up now when it doesn't matter anymore, but when we did need this to matter, like, you couldn't do this at that point.
Exactly. But you know what? I liked winning that game week 17 because I was like, hey, we're 1-0 in the new year, and it kind of shows promise going into the offseason, what this team is all about. Just wanted to ask you quickly, is there any other points you want to touch upon for today? Or
I don't think so. I think we covered a lot. I mean, it's going to be an interesting offseason. I think it's going to be really hard to predict where things could go. We could have because I don't think anybody really would have seen that coming with Matthew Stafford going to the Rams. I think that's a surprise for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think we could see a lot of types of signings like that happen in this offseason too. So I'm excited to see where everybody lands and what happens over the next few months once free agency starts.
Exactly. Well, anyway, guys, I think that's going to do it for episode 63 of YWC Football Talk. But before we go, I want you to plug yourself, Gabby. Where can the people find you, social media, and tell us a little bit about your podcast?
Yeah, sure. So I'm on all forms of social media, Twitter at GabbyHurlbutt10, Instagram at Gabby_Hurlbutt10, and Facebook as Gabby Elizabeth. So I'm on all forms of social media. I also have a podcast called Boston Balling. Basically, I cover all Boston sports. I bring guests on the show every week that or the Boston sports scene in some way. I've gotten to talk to some really cool people. We basically cover everything Boston related, but I always tell people you don't have to be a Boston fan to enjoy listening to the show. I have a lot of people that aren't Boston fans, but they enjoy listening to the show because we cover other things and other teams get brought up in conversation and everything else. So definitely hope to continue to grow a following on it. Boston Balling also is on social media. It has a Twitter page at Boston Balling, an Instagram page at Boston_Balling_podcast, and a Boston Balling Facebook page. You can also find the show on any podcast streaming platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you listen to. You can subscribe to it there. So I hope to just continue to grow a following on the show. I hope people tune in. I drop an episode once a week. So looking forward to the future of the podcast.
You know what? That's all great to hear, guys. Hopefully you go check out Gabby's podcast. Well, anyway, it was a blast getting to talk to you today, gained a little bit of know about yourself and everything too. But anyway, guys, that's going to do it for this episode. And Gabby, you're always welcome back whenever. We'll try to figure out something to talk down the road. But anyway, guys, thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time on YWC Football Talk. Bye for now.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, saythedamscore.com.